Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. The Titans fall 16-13 to the Houston Texans yesterday to drop to 1-9. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Corey Curtis to the program, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
I'm delightful. I was just perusing the standings this morning, and I saw one team from Chicago standing above a team from Green Bay and a team from Detroit.
I hope you take a screenshot of it.
I did, just like when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. I still got that one up.
Are they the worst 7-3 team ever?
No, not ever, but they're ranked in the top 10.
Okay.
I guess I'll accept that. I actually need like the list of worst teams that were 7-3 in the league.
I'm under no illusions about this team.
You know, the Titans were 7-3 a few years ago. That didn't end up working out pretty well for them.
They weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they go to Green Bay and do that?
They did.
They had that plane from Green Bay, man.
A lot of things changed after that night. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. The Titans probably need to go back to Lambeau and see if there's like some witch doctor up there or something and see if anything happened to them.
Remember in Ted Lasso when they went in the field and they all burned something that was important to them?
Yeah.
maybe we need to do that. Go to Nissan Stadium. Everybody brings something. We have a sacrifice.
So, Corey, there's...
What, Kahurski gonna spit?
Yeah.
I'll bring the apple.
Kuharski and Mike McCoy bare-knuckle boxing each other? That'd be good.
There we go.
That'd be good. So, Corey, there's a lot of places we could go from yesterday. I guess I'll just start here. The game basically ends up... I mean, you could put on the tape from most games they've played over the last 3 years, and it plays out pretty similar, where there's not much going on offensively. They end up at 13 points, and... And, you know, in this case, they end up losing in heartbreaking fashion at the end. Let's start with Latham. So, Latham, 3 false starts at home and a holding penalty yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Joe brought up his pass blocking numbers, which are actually good yesterday, but nobody cares about that when you have 3 false starts and a holding penalty. So, what do you make of him, where he's at, 23 games into his career as the 7th overall pick at tackle? How concerned are you at this point?
Well, I mean, when you're the 7th pick of the draft, it all needs to be good, right? I mean,
yes.
It's like I always tell my daughter, you can't do the right thing some of the time. You got to do the right thing all of the time. And look, holding penalties are going to happen. We understand that. Sometimes guys get beat, they get off balance, blah, 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 blah. In the heat of competition, you reach, you grab. It happens sometimes. So that's not a big deal. The false starts is a much bigger deal. That's all preventable. And what's more disturbing is, you know, to be called out by Jeffrey Simmons, you know, after the game saying we had 4 false starts on Friday. I know, didn't they change something with the cadence? But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was part of the game plan. So, like, be a pro and, you know, understand the game plan.
Yes, and it just goes to focus. To focus and preparation. And I used to cover Lou Holtz for a really long time, and you can think of Lou whatever you want, but he had some great slogans, and one of them was always, success happens when preparation meets opportunity. And to me, that's all about, you know, preparation and locking in. And it's, you know, it's great that he had a decent day pass protecting, sure. But, you know, they went from, you know, say 2nd and 2 to 2nd and 7, like right off the bat. Didn't they have back-to-backs?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good enough. And it was good to hear someone on the team say, not good enough.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that, you know, with Jeff. So do you like the mini meltdown after the game? Do you feel like this is a good leadership moment? Do you think that he is transforming into the leader that maybe they previously used to think he was / hoped he was, but he wasn't previously?
I agree with all of that, Joe. I mean, I think he thought he was a leader before, but I think he's understanding what it means to truly lead now. And part of leading is holding guys accountable. And, you know, he made a point to say, I'm saying the same thing I said after the game. So this was said to all their faces. You know, this wasn't just lip service to the cameras and the microphones. This was – exactly what he said to the guys in the locker room after the game. It's not good enough. And they need someone on that team to set the standard and hold people accountable to what is good enough and what isn't. You know, early in the season, I asked Bill Callahan, when he was still the offensive line coach, who is the leader of this group? And the answer I got was, well, it's kind of a group thing. And to which my response is, oh, so you don't have a leader.
Yeah.
The best offensive lines on this team has always had incredible leadership, whether it be Ben Jones or Kevin Mawai or Michael Ruse. You know, and they've had guys, you know, who are nasty and hold that group accountable. And, you know, Peter Skoronski's having a really good year. You know, they've spent money on some other guys. You know, they need someone on that group, you know, to step up and be the leader of that group and hold that group, you know, accountable, because they're not going to win games until they consistently win at the line of scrimmage. You know, it's just one of their problems, but that's where the game starts. And, you know, that group, you know, they need a linchpin, and right now they just don't have it.
So, you know, I hesitate to even talk about Mike McCoy all that much, because I think we all know in two months he's not going to be here anymore. So there's limitations as to what it all really matters in the end. Having said that, Corey, like, it's another situation yesterday where it's fourth down and two. They're at the Houston 28, and he elects to go for the field goal. Like, I guess I just can't for the life of me understand in today's NFL, when all the math tells you to go for it in that situation. And, oh, by the way, you're a 1-8 football team at the time that has absolutely nothing to lose. How we keep running into these situations with Mike McCoy on a weekly basis.
Okay, well, I'm going to probably have a little different answer than most, and maybe that you like, and that's fine. I don't have a problem kicking a field goal there against that team in that situation. You're struggling to put points on the board when you get across the 50. You want to put points on the board. You're playing a backup quarterback, and so you just want to put points on the board. I have no problem with that. The problem I do have is the call on third down. If you know that you're kicking it, if you come up short on third down, you're passing the football. You're not running the football. Because if you're running the football, it almost feels like you're playing for the 3 points. Okay? And so I think if you know in that situation, you have to know what you're doing on fourth down on third down. You have to. That's the job. And so if you know you're going to kick the field goal if you come up short, you've got to throw the football. That's where, to me, you're not aggressive enough in that situation. I agree. That's not aggressive enough. But when you fail with where this team is, I lean on the other side. And against a backup quarterback, I'm taking the points. If it's C.J. Stroud, I agree with you going for it. But take the points. Give yourself a chance to win the game.
Well, I'd just like to know if an interim coach has ever been fired.
I'm sure. You know, it was one of my reactions. My daughter was with me at work after the game. And she asked how the game went. I said, well, I don't think anybody's getting fired from this one. So that's
good.
How about Cam? Just how would you – you know, he made the one great pass late. I liked how he ran.
Yeah.
He also missed some throws that you can't miss. What would you say about his day yesterday?
Well, I mean, you're right when he ran. I mean, you know, he ran three times and it was effective, right? So, you know, look, he doesn't have to run 10 times a game. But he does have to run two or three, because – Their third down number yesterday was 40%. It was better. They stayed on the field. I mean, they had more longer drives. I know they didn't score a lot of points, but they were on the field longer. So I think, you know, the running was a good thing. I liked how quickly they got the ball out of his hands. I think they had it at like 2.25 seconds in the first half. And I liked how he was more willing to take the layups. But you're right. He had four balls, two to Kinsey, two to Iyo Manor, that, you know, you need to complete most of those. And, you know, those were chunk plays as well. And, you know, those are just flat-out misses. And it kind of goes to the Latham thing, is you can't do the right stuff. Some of the time you need to do it all the time. And, you know, that's part of being a rookie quarterback with some accuracy issues. You know, not everybody comes in the same. I always say Josh Allen could hit a barn when he came into the league. And so, you know, we'll see if he can get some of these things corrected, because, you know, those are some chunk plays that have got to be made.
Corey, last thing for you here. I know people probably don't talk about this part of the offense as much because we're all focused in on the quarterback. The Titans are horrific running the football. I mean, and look, I know Houston is a really good defense. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not just the Houston game. I mean, they ran for 58 yards yesterday. Cam Ward had 33 of them, which means for Pollard and Spears, it was 14 carries for 25 yards. And it's just abysmal. And they are the worst team in the league, 78.9 yards per game at running the ball. So, I guess it's bad. So, how much of that is offensive line? How much of that is back? Like, I guess what I'm asking, if they get another back in with the same offensive line, is that going to get dramatically better next year? How big a problem is the running game right now?
Well, how is Ashton Jeanty doing in Las Vegas?
It ain't going
to rack it up. No, it's not. Because their offensive line isn't real good. I don't think any back is having a tremendous time right now running. And I think their inability to be a consistent threat throwing the ball probably hurts that. Some as well. Teams can stack up on the run and dare that wide receiving core and the rookie quarterback to beat them. That's what I would do. Isn't that what you would do?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think, the passing game has to be a little bit more potent and consistent if they want to loosen up things, for the running game. And, I think you talked about Cam having 33 yards yesterday. I think, he needs to be a little bit more a part of the running game because it's not quite as obvious. When he does roll out, the touchdown pass was a rollout yesterday. They had a nice wall in front of him and a wide open receiver. It just seems to me when they have designed rollouts for him and designed, play action, bootleg, it goes well more than it goes poorly. I think they need to use more to move the pocket and help loosen things up on the line of scrimmage. Because right now, as we saw the week before or 2 weeks before at the goal line, you got all those dudes and you couldn't get a yard in two tries. And that's just man on man, hat on hat. And there's nothing about the passing game in that matters. That's just winning at the point of attack. And, until that group finds a way to win at the point of attack when you need a yard, you're going to have to figure out some other ways.
Well, Corey, they'll do it again next week. We'll see how it goes. See if they get to 1-10.
Awesome. They got an angry Seattle team coming to town. Sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go well. I'm sure that'll be.
Darnold just threw four picks.
Nice. He did, and they still almost won the game.
They did.
And seriously, that's a sign of a really good football team. Their quarterback threw four picks, and they had a kick to win the game.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Against the team that I thought was the second-best team in the league coming into the game.
Who's first?
Seattle first.
Okay. I didn't know if you're going to go. I didn't know if you're going to go wild and start talking about the Chicago Bears being the best team in the league.
I don't see through cheese colored glasses.
All right.
Hey, you got to like winning, though, right? Winning close games better than what's been happening for
It's not beautiful and it's not impressive, but I will say learning to win, learning to pull out games is a thing.
Yep.
Because I have a saying, I say it all the time, winning teams find a way to win, losing teams find a way to lose. You see it all the time where losing teams are in position to win games and they find a way to lose. Look at the Titans yesterday. Defense played a great game. 3rd and 16, Nico Collins first down.
Yep. No doubt about it.
Exactly.
Corey, thank you, sir. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a lovely day, fellas.
You as well. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us from News 2 every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, a 16-13 loss to Houston yesterday to drop to 1-9 on the season. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 16-13 to the Houston Texans yesterday. Joe, we brought up Mike McCoy. So there's a 4th and 2 situation from the Houston 28, I believe, where he elects to go for the field goal. That, as most things have done under Mike McCoy, drove Kuharski nuts yesterday at the game. There was an interesting back and forth in the press conference. PK got involved. TD got involved with Mike McCoy. Let's play that back and forth now. After the game yesterday, here was Mike McCoy.
Fourth and two from their 28. What will it take for you in the remainder of the season to be in one of those situations and make the more aggressive decision?
Well, you go, you know, like any situation in a game, you look at certain things. What is the flow of game? What type of game is it going to be? And what you think at the time and situation of the game you're going to do.
Every game this season has been the kind of the game where you need more points than the field goals you guys consistently settle for.
Yeah.
Is there going to come a time where you decide, I'm going to go for touchdowns in this game?
Oh, definitely. There's times we talk about it, you know, as the game's going on, as a staff, as you play the game, the flow of the game, everything. You do that all the time.
In this instance, what was it about the flow of the game that made you not go for it on such a – seemed like a makeable fourth down opportunity?
Because we said at that point in time, if it was a certain down and distance, what we were going to do, and we kicked the field goal.
But, I mean, what's the reason why you decided to not to go for it?
Because where the ball was, situation in the game, all those things, we said if it's a certain situation, it's a certain down and distance, we're kicking a field goal. And that's what we did.
But what makes you feel like the situation in this game is going to present you with a different outcome later where – 6 points at that stage is going to be enough, where the whole season, 6 points at that stage of the game has not been enough?
There's other times during the game also, regardless of where the ball is, where we say, if it is a certain down and distance, we're going to go for it. And that's the decisions you make as the game goes on. It's always, and it constantly changes as the flow of the game goes. Where's the ball? Where's the field position? What direction? There's so many other things that go into it. And we had talked about it, and that's what we did.
If Amy or Mike or Chad came to you and said, we overall want you to play more aggressively and not make decisions like that, but push, would you?
We talk about all the decisions I make all the time. And we constantly talk about it. We evaluate the game. We talk about the decisions I made. And that's what I did.
And are they satisfied with that conservatism?
I haven't talked about today's game yet. So
generally speaking?
So.
There it was, the back and forth between Kuharski and TD and Mike McCoy there on the decision to kick the field goal, fourth and two.
By the way, shout out to TD for jumping in there, because that is the question, right? Okay, you keep telling us flow again. What were these conditions? Just tell us what did you think? He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give an answer.
I would love, like he said over and over again, well, there's a certain down and distance where we go for it. I was like, well, what does the distance have to be? It's fourth, half an inch?
Fourth and 8 centimeters.
If it's anything more than fourth and 4 inches, we're not going for it. What does that mean?
I don't know. But
Want to spend a ton of time on it because, you know, Mike McCoy is not going to be here in 2 months, and it doesn't really matter. But it is just like, as a Titans fan, aren't you just watching this and saying, good God, you guys are 1-8. Just go for it. What difference does it make? Instead of settling for this field goal, you're 1-8. You got a rookie quarterback. So what if you don't get it? Who cares? Just go for it.
Yes, 100%. Again, I've been arguing here with Mark H. on the whole like sit cam thing, which of course they're not going to do, and they shouldn't do. And he points out that it used to be, you know, a different era. Yeah, different eras, guys would sit. I mentioned, you know, when I was a Lions fan in the 80s, Chuck Long, Randy Pete, those are rookies who played. Rookies have played a long time. But when you are playing a rookie, yeah, here's a situation. Let's see how he does. Here's a late game situation. And he, you know, he got it done. Got him in the end zone yesterday. It is somewhat maddening. I'm enjoying watching Kuharski melt down about it. Don't get me wrong.
Well, me too.
I'm now going to root for more conservatism just so Kuharski can just like have a complete meltdown.
Well, there's a text here that normally I would agree with. I don't think I do in this case. One texter says the problem with those complaints is that if they went for it and missed it, everyone would be screaming about what a stupid move
was. That's wrong.
I don't think so.
That's wrong.
Like when you're a 1-8 football team, and by the way, fourth and two around the league, especially in that situation for the 28, like the math tells you go. Like it's the analytics suggest you should go for it. So I don't think that's true. Like I don't think people would be complaining about it.
No. Probabilities tell you, and that's why all these teams have analytics departments. That's a gimme. And like Corey said, if if you run it on third down, that's a play you do if you know you're going for it on fourth down, but then they don't go for it. So, no, people would not be screaming about that. Again, Dan Campbell of the Lions, he goes for it all the time. They miss plenty, but they're aggressive. They go for it, and for the most part, these are the right decisions. Now, last night, 0 for 5 and a windy, crappy night, it was stupid. Like, there are times when, you know, it's like, yeah, take a short field goal or whatever. But this was, at the 28-yard line. It's also not a chip shot.
Yeah, I mean, and again, what down and distance are you looking for? If that's the down and distance that you're like, I don't know, certain down and distances, we would go for it. It's like, well, it's 4th and 2 from the 28. So what qualifies at that point?
Somehow Mike McCoy has made this less fun. Congratulations. Amazing feat.
Let's go to the phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, guys? I was in Chattanooga yesterday, and I wonder if the organization has called their flagship station and told them to block any streaming outside of the Middle Tennessee area, because I did not have access or permission to the stream when I was leaving Chattanooga yesterday. And then I got into Murfreesboro and had it on my phone, and it was fine. I'm like, what is happening to this organization? Plus, y'all saw that picture that Andrew tweeted out yesterday, right? Of the guys trying to get into the stadium in hard hats and the
sign.
I
did see that, yes. No.
Like, what?
Team under construction.
Hell was, and they apparently were denied entrance, Joe. What the hell is the organization doing?
Just saying team under construction?
Sign says team under construction. It was just a Titans logo.
I mean, not even like team under construction, but they ass right
no,
now?
No.
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 Nope. They are so soft. And if Trey calls in and starts bashing Cam Ward, the first words out of his mouth better be, why didn't Cam Ward block the field goal? Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Nate.
I don't know. By the way, the Titans are blocking him from watching them, or I didn't understand.
I guess he couldn't listen to the game in Chattanooga. We know we couldn't watch it in Chattanooga.
He was trying to stream it, though, he said.
Yeah, I don't know. We know you couldn't watch it in Chattanooga.
Titans are
a lot of people missed out on the Titans Texans game in Eastern and Western Tennessee yesterday. I'm sure they're broken up about it.
Mike McCoy's like, well, if they could have watched us in Knoxville, I would have gone for it, but never mind. Let's kick.
We will get back into the J.C. Latham conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we brought this up earlier. The Green Bay game from 3 years ago, we were talking about it with Corey. Today is actually the 3-year anniversary of the 27-17 win for the Titans against the Packers that day. That got them to 7-3 and in first place in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
And think about what has happened since then. 3 years ago today, they were 7-3 and in first place in the AFC South.
Yeah, I remember that post-game locker room in Green Bay. Byard talking about, this team can make a big run. I remember I wrote about Treylon Burks and his big night. So much hope, so much promise.
Oh. How many football games have they won since then? Let's see here. I believe the answer is 9.
Because there were 6 in Vrabel's last year.
There'd be
year.
10. So, yeah, 10.
6 in Vrabel's last year, 3 last year. Yeah, 10
They've games. Won 10 games.
In 3 years.
That's, in three just, calendar years.
That's real nice. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That sums it up. Yeah, that next morning. Playing from Green Bay.
This is a tough one. So, happy anniversary, Titans fans.
Yeah.
3 years ago today, things were looking good.
The date where it really, to me, all goes bad is the trading AJ date, right?
Yeah.
But that was the last, it just
evaporated.
Yeah, it just evaporated so quickly after that.
It's amazing.
And yet they still were one questionable call in the last game with their third string quarterback from winning the division.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Wow.
Jeez. That feels like 10 years ago at this point. It's only been 3.
It does. It does feel like a long time ago.
Feels like a long time ago. The J.C. Latham conversation. So, 3 false starts for Latham yesterday, 1 holding penalty for him. You brought up the pass blocking numbers from Next Gen Stats. Pretty good yesterday on the whole, right? Like, it did a decent job, pretty good job against Will Anderson. But you have four penalties, three of which are false starts, and it just totally nukes anything positive that happened for you that day. And here we are. I mean, we're 23 games into his career at this point, and it has been underwhelming. I think that's probably being kind. Underwhelming is what it has been. When you factor in, he's the seventh overall pick. So where are you right now on the J.C. Latham front? How concerned should Titans fans be? And what do you make of what, the more you look into it, seemed like essentially Jeffrey Simmons basically calling J.C. Latham out after the game yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, there's clearly something else going on here. And J.C. Latham is not at all a player I would consider when it comes to, like, you know, whatever, focus issues, maturity issues, professionalism, you know, would not a million years think that. He changed his body completely in the offseason, for example. But the stuff that happened yesterday, those mistakes, like, that's purely just a lack of focus. I mean, it's just it's being unserious in some way. And then you think about the report earlier, I think it was Mike Silver, right?
Yep.
The story he wrote about the Simmons getting all over Latham. Now, someone is telling me about some quote, which I haven't been able to find, and I've asked, it was on the YouTube chat, something about Arden Key talking about trying to help guys and they ignore him, or I don't know. So I have not seen that.
I think I remember seeing something like that on social yesterday. I'll have to dig, though.
Yeah. So again, well, and I say that because obviously Arden Key is a guy who in practice would go against J.C. Latham, and it's like, he's like, when he's trying to help guys improve, so are you also subtweeting J.C. Latham? Is everybody subtweeting J.C. Latham?
No.
There's something about him that's obviously bothering Simmons, and I think it goes maybe beyond, like, making mistakes in games. And again, Simmons mentioned the four false starts in the Friday practice. How many of those were Latham?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's – you need your seventh overall tackle to be a great player. And there's been nothing to suggest to this point that he's going to be a great player. Now, could he end up being good? Maybe. You know, and I said this yesterday on Twitter. He's bad right now. I mean, I understand you're happy with the pass blocking yesterday. Number one, they can't run the ball at all, which is amazing to me, given, you know, they've got Skoronski. You figure Latham should be a good run blocker. They can't run the ball at all. On this team, it's just Zeitler. It's brutal how bad they are at running the football. So that's, you know, one half of their offense right there they can't do at a high level. And then you've got pass blocking that's been so up and down. And Latham's part of that, right? Like, Latham has had some brutal blocking games this year too. So we're 23 games in, and he just looks like he might maybe end up being a decent tackle. But I've said it 1,000 times. He needs to be a great player by the end of this year. Like, he needs to be a foundational piece of your offense moving forward. And the fact that he had three false starts at home yesterday, which tells me that there's just not a whole lot of focus going on out there, that's a huge issue to me. Like, that's a big problem. And I think you're seeing Simmons in particular having enough of it right now.
Yeah. Well, I think the likelihood of Latham being that great player that, oh, yeah, that, he should have been the number seven pick isn't very high, but at least can you be a good starter? I mean, I don't think Skoronski, as well as he's played this year, does Skoronski ever going to, like, oh, 11 pick, number 11? Sure.
I don't know.
You know.
Put together a few all-pro years in a row, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, if you're that good. But, I mean, right now, Latham is certainly not on track for that. If you had yesterday's performance, which was encouraging, you know, in terms of how he played, how he protected, and then you paired that with not just doing, like, middle school stuff before the snap, then maybe, you know, there'd be some progress going on. But, and then, you know, he blew it off, and I just, you'd rather see someone point the finger at themselves after that.
Well, you know, I said it earlier in the show, like, his performance yesterday, it's like saying, well, the quarterback played really well, except for the four picks he threw in the game. That's basically what it was yesterday of the penalties that he had. Let's welcome in Trey to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Hey, what was that guy talking about? I was going to call in and say Cam could have blocked a field goal. What is he talking about? Am I renting space in people's heads just by calling in all the shows all the time? I don't understand it. But as you would see yesterday, I didn't see it, but I was listening to it. Hey, what is wrong with J.C. Latham? 3 penalties? Like, what is going on with him? And then Cam Ward can't even run a decent freaking simple play to get get us a win. I don't understand that. And why, everybody, all my haters was like, oh, he's going to be better than Will Levis, blah, 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 blah. And he's not. Let's just be honest. And I'm glad the Titans still got Will Levis because, if I could keep, him for $2 million, to try to compete for the job next year, I don't think Ken Ward going to last too long, y'all. And y'all have a good day. I love my haters. Bye.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it.
I think Trey's getting a little cocky over here.
Yes, too.
Is there like a hater website devoted to hating on Trey out there in Titans Nation?
He's like, I wasn't watching. I did listen. Oh, we know.
I mean, I guess the listening does entitle you to be pissed about the false starts because, you didn't have to actually watch them to know that that's bad.
Like, keep your butt down. What's going on out there? Good grief.
So here's a thought from Jack. He says, Simmons has had game-deciding back-breaking penalties, and he's been in the league 7 years. I'm sorry, Simmons is the last person I'll listen to on this. Simmons also, by the way, had a big penalty that gave them, ultimately, the 3 points that won the game, I guess.
I thought that was a pretty awful call.
I didn't think it was a good call either. But he did get called for it.
He did.
Technically.
He did.
He got the penalty. And I hear what you're saying, Jack. I do think, I think that Simmons, with his play, with, I think, some improvement in his approach, has and frankly, with just the incredible void they have where, someone has to step in there and be mad and call someone out, I think he has earned more right to have his voice heard.
I would agree. Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in George in the Borough. George, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. I keep calling in after Trey, so I need to figure out how not to do that.
Tough act, follow.
I was at the game yesterday, and the vibes and energy were not good. But when you're the worst team in the league, you don't deserve good home crowds. And the Titans are lucky people go to their games right now. But like J.C. Latham, bro, it was so quiet in the stadium, and he's just committing false starts. It was quiet as a baby's, as a closed book in a sleeping baby's bedroom yesterday. Is he intimidated by the silence? I know he played at Alabama, so I know he's used to big SEC crowds. It was so quiet in that stadium. And it's just getting frustrating watching all these first-round picks that the Titans have taken, no matter what administration is drafting, that are just not helping them win football games, whether it's Isaiah Wilson, Farley Burks, Skoronski, Latham, Ward. These are first-round picks. I know they play, but they're just not winning football games, and even their second round picks are just not, they're not drafting players that are coming in and winning football games for this team. And now they've got to find a new head coach that can work for the quarterback and help this team. There's just so much they've got to hit on, but just what a train wreck. Whoever's decision it was to not show the game anywhere else in the state, great decision. because I don't know why anyone would want to watch that garbage. Poor servicemen and women, thank you for your service. There was a lot of servicemen and women who were there yesterday. They had to watch that garbage, but thank you to all those men and women who serve our country and were there yesterday. That was a great halftime show if you were there and saw that. Some kids got to see their dad come home. But that was the best part of yesterday, seeing some kids see their dad come home from overseas. But that's all I've got, gentlemen. Thanks.
Thank you, George. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Final segment coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 16-13 loss to the Houston Texans yesterday to drop to 1-9.
There may be melt by the end of this week. If the Titans are as soft as they may be, I mean, what an absolute joke! I can't even get into it right now. We don't have time. We have time. We have time later this week. I mean, you talk about just pathetic freaking losers.
Well,
if the things I'm hearing are true.
We will get into that throughout the week. But they are losers. I mean, they're 1-9. Anyway, they're 1-9. So yeah.
I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
I'm talking about people making decisions. Like soft is such an inadequate term.
Yep.
Boy, I mean, we have Karski just needs to come in for the whole show on Wednesday.
We might need him to.
We already have
Karski. Gonna get your services in here Wednesday.
He's already gonna have to cope for an hour about McCoy, you know. So we got to get him through that.
Mike, would you ever go for it on fourth down if your life depended upon it?
Who they play this week? Oh, they got the Seahawks coming in.
Yeah.
Well, at least they.
Go.
You know what?
Your guess of an early line on that one? Let's see. Here.
Seattle by 10.5, 11.5.
12.5 is the number.
Okay. All right.
On the road.
Well, there
Not
you go.
Not that means anything.
No.
Titans haven't won a home game in over a calendar year.
The good thing is this won't be, I don't think, like the replay of the same old game over and over. Actually, if it is, I'll be impressed with the Titans. Because they're probably going to get just blown
housed.
Off the field.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Could be bad. Yep. A lot of thoughts on the Latham front. We will get into that more throughout the week as well. You know, we played this Jeffrey Simmons audio earlier. If you missed that, go back, check out Robbie and Rex Show, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. It's a kind of a, I don't know if tipping point is the right word, but you heard Jeffrey Simmons say it yesterday. You know, I've said it on the field, I've said it in the locker room, and I'm tired of basically trying to protect everybody's feelings around here, tired of sugarcoating stuff. It's time to get some of this stuff fixed out there. So.
Should we play Arden? Do you have Arden? Is it worth playing? No.
I don't have it right now.
Yeah. We could get into it. I mean, I don't know. We're going to miss Arden, actually. Arden is an interesting dude. I don't know if that's what he was talking about, but he did have a comment a little bit about basically this generation. Like, when he was young, it was like, here's how you're going to do it. And now these young kids are kind of, he said huff and puff, but they kind of,
Key's 29 years old.
Can't take, right. But that's older than 21.
It is.
They can't take the.
Back in my day. Yeah. you can't tell these kids anything nowadays.
Back when I used to hang out with Paul Kaharsk, my favorite reporter.
Make sure you subscribe to paulkaharsk.com.
But I suppose he may have been talking about the same sort of thing. I don't know. Maybe Latham is just.
We need Arden Key talking more. I mean, he's the one that, like, every 6 weeks will be. The coaches weren't making any adjustments before, but now they are. And then by the end of last year, it's like, these coaches don't seem to make a whole lot of adjustments. It's like, wow, not a whole lot of adjusting going on around here.
Yeah. Yeah. They let us be They let us be us.
A weekly press conference with Arden Key that everybody just zeroes in on. Everybody obviously pays attention to what Cam Ward says and Jeffrey Simmons and kind of like the headline members of the team. I think we need to switch it for a couple weeks. Just go to Arden.
I'm here for it. Replace the McCoy pressers with Arden. Let Arden. Please.
Arden, would you go for it on fourth down? Yeah, man. Let's do it.
I mean, the only reason, like, Mike McCoy's pressers have any value is just because we know Kaharski's going to lose it. Other than that, no interest.
Titans are 1-9. We'll have full reaction all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County on day.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman is next. This is 102.5 The Game.